Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis chapter 28, in your Schofield Bible, page 42. We'll be reading verses 10 through 16, starting with verse 10 and reading responsively through verse 16. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of this passage. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And join now together also on the text verse, verse 16, together. And Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of the evening service. How blessed we've been in so many years past now. In the evening services. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we're free to have it, to hear it, to act upon it. Bless our preacher and help us to have dedicated ears in the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we've come here before for these many, many years. And thou hast given us handfuls of purpose as we have gleaned in the harvest fields. We have been to these same harvest fields before. We have gleaned in Genesis 28 before. But thou hast always given us a special harvest, just a little different. And so tonight, take this passage of Scripture and others like it and bless this hour or something eternal in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We often pan for gold in the same stream, and yet in that same stream we seem to find at least one little new nugget that has not been in our pan before. Tonight I'd like to take an old, old story, one that is not unfamiliar to any of you, and I would like to take a little nugget perhaps you've never noticed before in this story of Jacob and Esau and Jacob's experience with his God. All you recall the story, it's nothing new to you. Esau is out hunting. His brother Jacob is in the house baking some chocolate chip cookies and making some soup. Not like Jacob. I have nothing against the fellow. There's something wrong with him. I think he may have been from San Francisco at one time or the other. There's something wrong with him somewhere. I'm not opposed to a fellow baking some chocolate chip cookies and making some chili. But if his brother's gone hunting, I don't know what he's doing at home making chili while his brother's out hunting. But he was. I like him. I'm going to rough him up a little bit when I get to glory and see him, but sort of make a man out of him. But I like him. But his brother came home, and he was worn out. He thought he was dying, really thought he was dying. And he said, Jake, I've got to have some soup. Give me some of that soup. And Jacob said, not on your life. And Esau said, I've got to have it, Jake. I'm about to die. Now, Jacob and Esau were twins, but Esau was delivered first, which means he was the firstborn, which means that he had the double blessing. He had the birthright. The birthright meant several things. It meant, first, a double portion of the inheritance. Second, it meant the priestly rights for the family. And and other things. So Jacob said, Esau, I'd like to have your birthright. Esau said, good night, I'm going to die anyhow. So if I die, you're going to get it. So I may as well live and let you have it. And so he said, I'll let you have my birthright for the bowl of soup. And so Jacob traded a bowl of soup for Esau's birthright and all that came therewith. The passing of time, Dad's getting older now. They thought their dad was dying. He did not die then. He lived a number of years later. They thought he was dying. And on what they thought was his deathbed, Esau was supposed to come to get the blessing of the father, uniquely suited for the oldest son. Jacob, by the way, Jacob was a fair fella. Esau was a very hairy fella. So Jacob made himself to appear to be hairy, and his father was weak of vision and could not tell by sight which boy was there. And so Jacob disguised himself as Esau, and he came to him, and he said, Daddy, and Esau said, the voice is Jacob, but said the hairy body is Esau's. And so his father said, he gave the blessing that was rightly Esau's to Jacob. Now then, Jacob not only has the blessing of his father, the dying blessing of his father, but he also has the birthright. Both things rightly belong to Esau, and Jacob has them. And Esau realizes that Jacob has tricked him, and Esau says, I'll kill him. I'm going to get to him, and I'm going to kill him. So Jacob's mother, she loved Jacob more than she loved Esau, because she taught him how to make chocolate chip cookies and soup and so forth. And so she said, son, you better leave now. Esau's going to kill you. Esau said, you better know I'm going to kill you. She said, now you better leave. So she said, whoopsie whoopsie, I want you to leave home now and go back where we came from, down to Haran. I want you to stay there till the coast is clear, till your brother's ire and anger has worn off. It's the only hope for your safety from your brother who said he's going to kill you. And so Jacob flees. The first night away from home, he comes to a place and he puts stones down and makes a pillow out of some stones. He goes to sleep. He sees, has a dream. In that dream, he sees a ladder going up to heaven, and angels of God going up and down that ladder. Now, he didn't know what it was. He didn't realize it. It was God. Next morning he wakes up, relives the vision, and he says, surely God was in this place, and I knew it not. You know, to me, that's one of the saddest things in the whole world. For a person to have God's presence and not know it. One of the saddest things. I mean, he said God was in this place, and I did not even know it. My soul I say so often, brother, I'm gonna be aware of what's going on here in this place. I'm not gonna wait till I'm an old man someday, looking back on my past and looking back on these days, and say, surely God was in that place. I'm gonna enjoy His presence and blessing now while I'm here. I'm gonna savor every service. I'm gonna savor every song. I'm gonna savor every chance to preach. I'm gonna savor every person that walks these aisles, every invitation time, every special number, because I'm not going to wait till I'm gone or an old man, unable to enjoy what I can enjoy and do what I do now, and say, surely God was in this place, and I knew it not. But, too late now, Jacob had his chance. I believe that God wanted to give to Jacob then what Jacob got 20 years later when he wrestled with God and prevailed. I think that was his first chance. If Jacob had said, while he was sleeping, God is in this place, and he did have said that, I think that he would have received. I think then he would have become a prince with God. And by the way, he would have become a prince with God then without having to cripple. You see, God doesn't cripple you if you'll do what he says when he says it at the first time. And so Jacob did not grasp him then. I think... Listen, remember when God came to Jacob later, and Jacob said, wrestle with the man, and then all of a sudden, he said that this is the place God has been. Again, he said that later on, when he wrestled at Jabbok with the angel, and God came. Now look, Jacob didn't see that angel and say, I want to wrestle with you. No. That angel came and attacked Jacob. It was no spiritual deal when it happened. Jacob didn't all of a sudden say, I want to wrestle with God. No. An angel came and knocked him down and said, boy, I'm going to take care of you. And Jacob said, let me go. He didn't know it was God. And all of a sudden, while he was wrestling, he realized it was God. And then he changed, and the angel said, let me get away from here. Now, first, Jacob said, let me go. And the angel said, no, you're not getting away. And then when Jacob realized what it was God, then he started hanging on, and the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, no, you're not getting away. He said, I missed this once before. I had this chance 20 years ago, and I didn't seize on it, and I'm not going to pass it up this time. I've got something now. I should have taken 20 years ago, and I've lived in sin 20 years, and I've lived outside the will of God for 20 years, and I've been in misery for 20 years, and I've been suffered for 20 years, and I'm not going to do it again. Boy, I got the second chance, bless God, and I'm going to seize on it. And he did, and he became an angel with God. Now, Jacob didn't grasp him then. God didn't want to cripple Jacob. For 20 years, he had remorse. I do not know this to be true, but I think it's true. I think Jacob wanted another chance. Jacob realized he had blown his first chance. God came, and by the way, God wanted, hear me now, God wanted Jacob to make it right with Esau then. For as soon as Jacob had made it right with God and become a prince with God and prevailed in the wrestling match with the angel and saw God face to face, then Jacob went to Esau and asked Esau's forgiveness, and God changed Esau's heart. And God was saying to Jacob, I want to give you power with which you can go to Esau and have his heart changed and make it right with Esau. But for 20 years, he was wrong with his brother. Why? Because God was in that place. He did not know God was in that place. He lost his chance to have power with God and consequently power with men. And because of that, he had to, 20 years, estranged from his brother Esau when he could. If Jacob had done the same thing at Bethel he did 20 years later when he wrestled at Jabbok. If Jacob had done the same thing, he could have trotted himself right back home, stuck his hand out to his brother Esau, and said, Esau, I want you to forgive me. And Esau's heart would have been changed, because when you get power with God, then you have power with men. And the reason you don't have any power in soul winning with men, you haven't got any power with God in the prayer closet. And Jacob could have gone back, put his hand out and said, Esau, I want to make it right. Now listen, if you've got something in your heart against somebody, the thing you'd do is get alone in the prayer closet and grab a hold to God and rest with God and prevail with God till God changes you and gives you power with himself, and then you can make it right with him, because you will then have power with man. There's no need for anybody to go 20 years with bitterness in his heart. No need for anybody to go 20 years with a grudge in his heart. No need for brothers to go 20 years estranged from each other. No need for anybody to go 20 years with hatred. No need for anybody to go 20 years with vengeance in his heart. No need. But you're going to do it till you make your heart right with God, because you'll not be right outwardly until you're right upwardly. And brother, you get right vertically, you can get right horizontally, but you'll not get right with man till you get right with God. And when you get right with God, you will be right with man. So, Jacob, for 20 years, has remorse. You know the story. Went down to Haran, and there he met Laban and fell in love with his daughter, Rachel, and said, I'll work for 7 years. And he worked for 7 years. Then he got her. And on her honeymoon, he pulled the veil back to see how pretty she was. And she wasn't there, but Leah was there. I love it. 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 I'm glad that dirty, scheming, sneaking rascal got... Well, by the way, you'll get what you sow. You'll get what you sow. So, but he loved Rachel so much, he said, I'll work 7 more years for Rachel. 14 years for Rachel. But he had Leah and Rachel, too. And... He married Leah, and he married Rachel, and he said, now, wasn't that big of me. But anyway, you're with me tonight. Just checking to see if you're still out there. Oh, that was a funny one. But, and then, of course, he got very, very wealthy. But wait a minute. All the time he's there, he was wanting to go back to Bethel. Why go back to Bethel? Because there's something at Bethel that Jacob needs. Jacob needs to get right with Esau. But Jacob can't get right with Esau until Jacob gets right with God. And Jacob can't get right with God until Jacob seizes the opportunity where he failed the first time. Oh, we love to preach on, and I do. Jacob at Jabbok. Oh, Jacob said, dear God, I'm not going to let you go. Jacob came to God and said, God, I'm going to get you a blessing. Not at first. That angel came up and whacked him and said, boy, I got you. And Jacob said, let me get out of here. Yet the angel attacked him. And Jacob, let me get out. And then all of a sudden, he said, it's God. And I know it's God. And now he said, you're not going to get loose from me. And then he prevailed and became a prince with God. Now, thought or two. How sad it is not to take the first chance and know that God was there then. How sad. Young people, serve God at the first call. Serve God at the first chance. Oh, I know you can go out and sow your wild oats and you can get right with God and come back and God will still use you. I know that, but God will never use you like he would have had the first time. And if Jacob had become a prince with God the first time, gone right back home, made it right with Esau, he would never gone to Haran. He would never have backslidden. He wouldn't have wasted his life out in away from God and outside the will of God. He wouldn't have done it. Young people, listen to me. You listen now to the call of God while you're young. And you serve God the first time. How sad to have to be crippled. You know, I sat last month and I looked at our high school seniors. They sat down here. And I got to thinking, as I often do about them, so far all they've known is basketball and cheerleading, and life has been so uncomplicated. And I looked at those kids and I stopped to realize within a year's time, practically every one of those kids are going to face the realities of the complications of life. One of those young ladies is going to give her body to the hands of a wicked young man, get pregnant before she gets married. And then she's going to find out that life is not wrapped up in cheerleading and basketball trips and Sunday school parties and so forth. She's going to face the real cold realities of life. One of these young ladies is going to marry a young man that she shouldn't marry. He's going to be bad to her, and he's going to beat her. And she's going to come to back my office, as they often do, black and blue, because they wouldn't listen to the preacher. And I say this lovingly. I don't say it because I want to have my way, but I want to say it. While you're young, the first time, listen to what the preacher has to say. And listen to what spiritual moms and dads have to say. You don't have to waste 20 years in sin. You don't have to be beaten by a wicked husband. You don't have to carry a baby in your body out of wedlock. You don't have to spend those years in misery. You don't have to go to some hospital and recover from dope addiction. You don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to face the complexities of life. If you just, that first time when you see that dream, the first time when God speaks to your heart while you're young, don't do like Jacob. Stop and say, that's God speaking to me. And I'm going to give what I have to God while I'm young and serve Him all of my life. Listen, there are two types of people, two types of Christian young people. Those who serve God all their life and those who wish they had Him. I've said this so often. Every young person in this house tonight, every teenager in this house, every high school student in this house tonight, every college student, it'll either be 30 years from now, either this, I'm glad I did, or I wish I had. I'm glad I did, or I wish I had. I wish I had a movie camera. I wish I could let you eavesdrop on the conferences I have in my office. I wish you could see last year's graduating class who didn't listen to the preacher. I wish you could see them as they come back next year and the next year and the next year. And they went ahead and married somebody they shouldn't have married. Or went to some school they shouldn't have gone to. Or got in a crowd they shouldn't. Listen, I don't care, like it or not, the wages of sin is still death. And the soul that sinneth, it shall still die. And sin, when it is finished, still bringeth forth death. Old Jacob, there in Bethel, Jacob with a dream, angel of God going up and down. And then Jacob, hey Jacob, that's God talking to you right now. Grab hold of him. Wrestle with him. Don't let him go. That's God talking to you. Jacob, you don't have to go to Haran. You don't have to live in sin 20 years. You don't have to leave the will of God. You don't have to have remorse when you're an old man. Jacob, you hang on to God now. If somebody just told him God was there, how sad to have to be crippled. They limp back to my office. And they limp every week of my life. Listen to me. They limp every week of my life. And they limp back to my office. She has a baby in her arms, and she said, Brother Hiles, we had a baby. My husband's left me. How can I take care of the baby? And my mind wanders back to that graduating class when I saw her sit there, a cherub-looking little girl. Life was so simple in those days. A basketball game, a date here, a sweetheart banquet, a trip to the great America, a young people's social, teenage soul winning. And I see her as she sat there, innocent. And she thought she'd go her own way. And she didn't listen to the preacher. And now she lifts back to my office. And she's got a baby. And her body's beaten black and blue. Why? Because while she was young, she did not seize upon that first chance to serve God. And that first chance to obey the will of God. How sad to have to be crippled. They come to my office pregnant. Young men come to my office trembling like that. And they'll say to me, Preacher, I've got to have my dope. I had a young man come to my office not long ago. He said, I'm on dope. I've got to have help. And right while he was there, he started having some kind of a spell and shaking like that. He said, Preacher, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And I remember when that young man used to sit down here in our high school graduation class. Young people, in God's name, listen to your preacher. I don't have anything I'm trying to talk you into doing to please me. I'm trying to save your life. Oh, if Jacob had just hadn't have said, I'll make my own decision. If Jacob just hadn't have said, I don't want to be influenced by mom and dad. If Jacob just hadn't have said, I don't want the preacher to influence me. If Jacob had just said, this is God, and God is talking, and I'm going to give my life to God now, while I'm young. A whole life of misery could have been saved and spared Jacob down in Haran. 20 years passes. He returns. Back to Bethel, I must go. Back where the rivers of pure waters flow. Back to the joy life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Tonight, those of you who are stained by sin, those of you who have been tarnished by the devil's lies, God called you back to Bethel tonight. God calls you back to that place where once you were. God called you back to that place where once you sang and minute. God called you back to that place where once you had a fellowship with Him. God called you back to the Bible. God called you back to church. God called you back to decency. God called you back to right. I mentioned a while ago Dave and Barb. Oh, sir. Dave's 37 now, right, Dave? 37 years of age, pastor of a church, been preaching for years now. Dave, how old were you when you wanted to get married? 19? And Barb was 18. And they came to my office and said, Brother Hiles, we want to get married. And I said, kids, I love you. And I want you to be happy. I said, I think you ought to wait a year. And they looked at me and they said, Brother Hiles, we want to get married now. And I said, now, kids, you trust me. You trust me. Don't you rush to the altar. You've got to get to know each other first. You've got to mature first. And they looked at me and both of them weeping and they said, Preacher, it's going to be the hardest year of our lives. We're ready to get married now. But preacher, we'll do what you say. And they changed their plans in my office that night and decided to wait for a year. And there they sit tonight, a fine pastor and his wife, a service for God now for these many years. Graduate of fine Christian college and faithful in the service for God, and years aren't wasted, and they haven't had to come back and limp back and say, Preacher, I've been wounded. Can God still use me? I've been wounded. 20 years later, he comes back and he says, if it ever happens again, I'm not going to miss it. Ever happens again, I'm not going to pass it up this time. All of a sudden, he goes back to Jabbok, and there he goes to pray. And somebody grabs it. And Jacob's afraid. He's been attacked. Maybe he thought it was a burglar. Maybe he thought it was a robber. Maybe he thought it was an evening assault. Somebody grabs him. Jacob said, Let me go. And then Jacob remembers. 20 years ago, one night, not far from here, I knelt and went to sleep on my head on a rock, stone for a pillow. During the night I had a dream and I didn't know it was God. And Jacob said, "This is God. I know that now. This is God. I'm having a second chance. Aren't you glad that God's the God of the second chance?" And Jacob said, "I'm not going to miss this chance." And then the angel said, Let me go. You think that angel wanted to go? Dr. I said, he said, that's a rigged wrestling match. He said the outcome was fixed. Angel said, let me go. Jacob, I'm not going to let you go. I said, don't you think that angel could have gotten loose if he wanted to? You think that angel from heaven was so weak that Jacob kept on holding on? No, he didn't want to go. But he wanted to know if Jacob really wanted him to stay. And Jacob said, I remember many sins ago, many wrinkles ago, many tears ago. I remember not far from right here. And knelt. And God was here, and I didn't know it. But God's here now, and I know it. I thank God tonight that God is a second chance God. Ask Jonah. Was called by God to go to Nineveh and refused to go. Left for Joppa, got on the boat. You remember the story. Cast off the boat because of the casting of lots and swallowed by a fish, a whale. Stayed there 3 days and 3 nights as our Lord stayed in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. And then he prayed and the Spirit and the word of the Lord came to Joseph the son of Midian the second time saying, Arise! I said, go to that great city, Nineveh, and preach against it. I say, young people, on the first chance, first opportunity, serve Him. But then I turn tonight from those precious young people and talk to those of you to whom the years have brought many tears and to whom the years have brought complexity. How many times did I use that song? Dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. God can take Jonah and come the second time and still use him, make him a great evangelist. He wasn't what he would have been the first time, but God can still use him. God can take an apostle Peter who denied and cursed and said, I don't belong to the church, I don't belong to the faith, I don't belong to the Savior. God can put him on Pentecost and still use him, and 3,000 folks can get saved. God can take a John Mark who gets scared in Pamphylia and starts his journey back home to Mama's lap because he's afraid and homesick. But God comes and says, John Mark, let me use you. And God can use that fellow later on to write the second book of the New Testament and become one of Paul's close companions in Paul's latter days while he was in jail. God can take a David who had sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah, and God can take him and still make him a man after God's own heart. And God can take a Naomi. Her face is not as lovely as it once was, and her shoulders are not quite as straight as they once were, and her hands are not quite as sure as they once were, and her walk is not quite as steady as it once was. But she comes back from Moab after 10 years in sin. Her husband's dead, and her son Malan is dead, and her son Chilion is dead. And one of her daughters-in-law would not come back with her, and she stumbles back to Bethlehem of Judah. And she has a daughter-in-law with her, and her husband and two sons are buried in Moab's soil and turned to Moab's dust. She comes back, and they say, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi anymore. That means pleasant. Call me Mara. That means bitter. Because I went out full and came back empty. But the Bible says that they went out to get full because they thought they were empty. And they thought they were leaving an empty place in Bethlehem to go get full in Moab. But nobody ever gets full in Moab. Moab doesn't have any bread that'll stick. Moab has no joy that'll linger. Moab has no peace that'll stay. Moab has no satisfaction that will not leave. You only come back empty when you go down to Moabite's end. She comes back, but God says, I can still use you. I want to say this tonight. There's not a person in this room what God could not still use you if you turn your life over to Him. It may be tonight the call is the first call at Bethel. It may be tonight is the ladder and the angels of God going up and down that ladder. But God can use your art. Maybe tonight you've already turned that one down, and the years have come and stained your life and soiled your garment of righteousness. But God is a God of the second chance. And God comes tonight to those of you who wasted that first Bethel. God comes to you and He attacks you tonight through a sermon and grabs you! Why don't you say, Lord, I know it's You. I know it's You. And dear God, You can have what's left of my life. Jacob came and said, Lord, I don't have my youth anymore, but I'll give You my middle age and old years. Lord, I don't have my innocence anymore, but I'll come to You and get forgiven and have my sins washed as white as snow. God, I don't have the strength of youth to give You, but I've got the sincerity and the maturity of old age to give You, and I'll give You what I've got. I don't care what you've got. If you've got 70 years left, give it to God. You wasted 10 and you've got 60 years left, give them to God. You wasted 20 and got 50 left, let God have it. You wasted 30 and got 40 left, let God have it. You wasted 40 and got 30 left, let God have it. If you wasted 69 years and 364 days, let God have the last day of your life. God can use you because God still wants you. Something sad here, though. God said to Jacob, Jacob, I'm going to have to do something I don't want to do now. I'm going to have to cripple you. Angel whacks him across the thigh, and his thigh is out of socket. And Jacob walks with a limp the rest of his life. Sort of sad that God has to give us a limp, isn't it? Sort of sad we wouldn't serve Him without having to be crippled, isn't it? Tonight, if you'd come to Him while you're at Bethel, you wouldn't have to be crippled at Jabbok. But if you've already missed your chance at Bethel, tonight He comes and cripples you at Jabbok. Lift up your heart and say, blessed be God, He crippled me. Blessed be God, He crippled me. God had to take a baby from your arms and take a baby from your lap and take that baby on to heaven, and you go to the crib and see an empty place, and you see a bronze shoe on the mantle. Beside that, a picture of a little one you love like you love your own life. If God had to reach down and take that little baby and take it on to heaven, you look at that picture and say, thank God for being crippled. because it took that for God to use me and for me to be willing for God to use me. And Jacob walked with a limp. But I think Jacob had the happiest limp in the whole world. Jacob, I'm sorry about your limp. Sorry, nothing. I'm a crippled prince. I was a well bum. I'm a crippled prince. I'm a prince with God. And God's using me again. Wait a minute. What's the first thing Jacob did? He realized what he didn't realize in Bethel. He takes a bunch of gifts. I haven't got time to list them all for you. Takes a bunch of gifts. And he says, I've got to get right with Esau. I've got to get right with Esau. If you're not right with anybody in the world, you listen, if you're not right with anybody, you're not right with God. Bible said, if you can't forgive your friends whom you see and who are visible and you're sinful as they are, your Father won't forgive your sins. You may be saved, but you're not right with God. And Jacob says, I want to get right with Esau. Can you picture it for a moment? Here's Jacob. His beard's a little thicker than it used to be, still a little bit fair. Doesn't have much hair on his body. And he's a little ruggeder than he used to be. Successful man. He's a wealthy fellow now. But he's going to come make it right with Esau. But he says, Esau, kill me. Esau, kill me. But I don't care if Esau kills me. I'll die happy if I make it right with Esau. And so Jacob takes a lot of his wealth, and I don't have time to go into it, but he goes to Esau, scared to death. And there's his big old brother Esau, middle-aged now. Doesn't have his youthful physique. A little pot is down below his chest now. And his hair is thinning, no doubt. And though his body still has its hair, no doubt his hair is thinning on the top. He's middle-aged now. And he's not quite as rugged as he used to be. But you can tell he used to be rugged. He's still got that look around his eyes. He's still got that leather look on his face like a rancher who's up in years. And West Texas rancher who's up in years and whose head is tan like the leather on a saddle. Esau walks up and Jacob says, Esau, don't kill me. But if you do, I'm still going to say something. Esau, I'm sorry about that day when you came home. I shouldn't have taken your birthright. I should have given you a bowl of soup. Esau, forgive me. If you want to kill me, okay, but I want to say I'm sorry. And Esau, never forget that day when I put a hair on my hands and my neck. Went to Daddy, and Daddy thought I was you. And Daddy gave me your blessing. Esau, I'm sorry. Look, I've got all this for you. This is a peace offering, Esau. Take it, take anything you want. It's all yours. Brother, when you've been to Jabbok, and when you've known God is there and you've made it right with God, it's amazing what influence you have with men. And Esau is no longer the rugged murderer. He says, Jacob, I'm so glad to see you. And Jacob, keep what? No, I want you to have it. No, you keep it. God's been good to me. I've got all I need. I don't need that. Can't you see that slightly built Jacob, face stained by sin and the toil of being outside the will of God and going nowhere but toiling to get somewhere? Can you see him hugging the big broad shoulders of Esau? And can you see Esau hugging little Jacob? And can you see their tears mingling with each other? And Jacob is right with his brother. And Esau's forgiven him. You know why? Because when you get right that way, you get right that way. May I say this in testifying? This is not preaching, it's testifying. How I thank God tonight for the way He's used me. I'm no great preacher. I'm no great Christian. I'm not a great man. And I have no right to pastor a church like this. But how I thank God tonight, Brother Ray, you don't travel across the country and see my meetings. It's a part of my life that hardly anybody ever sees here. Occasionally somebody's on vacation will see me. But you know, it's nothing unusual when I preach somewhere that's not used to me. It's nothing unusual on a Monday night or Tuesday night.
for 80 or 85% of the audience to come forward and fall on their faces in invitation time. Nothing unusual. I've seen entire sections empty because the Spirit of God got a hold of people. I thank God tonight that God can work in the hearts of people. I thank God tonight He can use a little lump of clay like me so that people's lives can be transformed. Let me say this, and I fear to say it, for fear God will strike me dead or lightning will come or something, or I'll drop dead or something. But I fear to say it, but it's the truth. God knows it's the truth. I've tried all these years to keep my heart right with Him. I really have. I'm not what I ought to be, but God knows I'm aware of His presence. He never comes to me and I wonder if it was God. I'm aware of His presence. I don't play while others play. I go to my room at night after the service while others go out to McDonald's. I sometimes see other preachers going together to play golf in the afternoon when I'd love to go out and shoot a few. But I go to my room. And night after night after night across this nation, I fall on my face in motel rooms and say, God, You got to use me. And ladies and gentlemen, you wonder why your children won't listen to you? I'll tell you why. Because God doesn't listen to you. And you wonder why you can't influence your children? Because you can't influence God. And you get to Jabbok and you hang on to God and you say, God, I know You're there. I'm not going to let You go. My kids are not going to go to hell. God, listen to me. I'm going to prevail. I'll stay here. You're going to bless me. I'm not going to leave till I get a blessing. I'll guarantee you, when you get it right there, your kids will listen to you. You wonder why unsaved folks don't listen to you. Because you spend more time trying to influence them than you spend trying to influence God. People will listen when you can get God to listen. And you can claim people to be influenced by you when you paid your price at Jabbok or at Bethel. Talking to somebody tonight who's at Bethel. You're young. You're about to go home. People tonight came to go to college, but you're about to go home. You're equating the will of God with a job. You know, it may be God wants to find out if you will starve to death to be in His will. Remember? Abraham! Abraham! What is it, Lord? Won't you take your son, your only son Isaac, take him for a 3 days journey into Mount Moriah and offer him there for a sacrifice? You mean kill him? You mean take a knife and pierce his breast and kill him as a lamb or roller? Yeah. But God, He's a promised seed. You gave him to Sarah and I when we were 90 and 100 years old. Dear God, You promised him. You promised that through him all the nations of the earth we'll be blessed. Abraham, take your son and take your only son Isaac and offer him for a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Abraham goes to his son Isaac. By the way, Isaac's no little boy. Isaac is a young man. Abraham goes to Isaac and says, son, you come with me. And Isaac says, Dad, where are we going to go? Abraham says, we're going to go to Mount Moriah, 3 days journey, so bring a change of clothes, a little extra, provender. And that first night, Isaac goes to sleep on the desert sand. Is there a tent over him? I don't know. Abraham looks over and sees his son Isaac as he's asleep. And says, dear God, I don't understand this. I don't understand it. You promised me a boy, and now you promised that I'd give it up, and now at 100 years of age you gave me a boy, and now here it is, I'm an old man, You promised to bless the nations of the earth through me. I don't understand it. He goes off to sleep. He can hear the heartbeat of his son, who to him in just a few days, 3 days, will have beaten for the last time. Night number 2, Isaac goes to sleep. Abraham looks up and says, "Dear Lord," as he sees the stars of the eastern sky. He says, "Dear God, you promised me that my seed would be like the stars for number. You promised me that. And I only have one boy, my Sarah. And God, you want me to kill him. You promised me that as the stars, the sky would be, so would my seed be through him." Night number 3. Isaac goes to sleep. Tomorrow's the day when Abraham must take the life of his own son because God wanted it. Abraham sees his boy go off to sleep. Reaches over and takes a handful of sand. The grains of sand fall between his fingers. Abraham says, "Dear God, you see that sand? You promised me as the grains of the sand, so would my seed be through that boy. But if you want him, you can have him." They come to Moriah. He builds an altar, places the wood on the altar, tells Isaac what's going to happen. Isaac yields like the Son of God yielded after his 3 days and 3 nights. Abraham takes the knife to pierce the breast of his son. Starts to bring it down. He hears a noise. "What's that? What's that?" "There's a ram over here caught in the thicket." God said, "Abraham, Abraham, what is it?" "See that ram?" "Yeah, sure do." "Take Isaac off the altar, off of the ram instead."
"You mean I can have him?"
You see, God wants to give you something if you'll find out if you'll die first. You come and stay 3 weeks here and you don't find a job. "I got to go back home. I can find work back there." You're going to go down with Elijah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one of the great Christians in history. You soft, skin, coward. Benedict Arnold! God never promises you a bed of roses! That's later. This is not crown-bearing time. This is cross-bearing time. It's not victory march time. This is baton march time. God says, "I want you." I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're at Bethel. You know what the preacher says is true. You know it's true. You do. And by the way, there's not a teenager in this room that says, "I just don't agree with you," that's telling the truth. You know better than that. "Well, I just have different convictions." Oh, you know better than that. You know sin is sin. You know black is black. You're not fooling anybody, much less you're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling me. You're not fooling God. You can't grow up in this church and hear it pounded, 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 pounded. You can't do that without knowing what's right and what's wrong. You can't do it. You know what's right. Now, in God's name, before you're crippled by a divorce, you grab on to God at Bethel. Before you're crippled by an illegitimate child, grab on to God at Bethel. Before you're crippled by a husband that won't love you and beat you, grab on to God at Bethel. Grab him, grab him, grab him now. But if it's too late for that, I love you as much as I love those at Bethel. If you're in Haran, back to Bethel, I must go back where the rivers of pure water flow. Back to the joy life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. If you're down in Haran, you have your Leah, you have your Rachel, you have your complexities with Laban,
You have your emptiness and you have your loneliness and you have your misery. The same God of Bethel still calls you back to Bethel tonight. May I say tonight, if you're at Jabbok and God has given you that second chance to hold on to Him and grab Him, you grab Him. Jacob, it's been 20 years. You're not as handsome as you were at Bethel. You don't have the innocent look in your eye you had in Bethel. You don't have the cherub look on your cheek or the rose painted there on the cheek like you had in Bethel. But God still loves you, Jacob. And God can still use you. Let Him have His way. You grab on to Him. Even if you got to be crippled. And Jacob, as long as you limp, you'll thank God you're crippled. Because that meant that though God had to cripple you to get you to recognize it was He, nevertheless, it's more fun to be crippled in the will of God than to be whole in the world. Our Heavenly Father, bless the truths that have gone forth from this pulpit tonight. And O Spirit of God, speak to those who are at Bethel about to turn aside. The night's almost over. And they've not recognized that God is there. And they'll be saying in a few hours, God was in this place and I did not know it. Bless them. And dear God, bless those who are down in Haran, outside the will of God because they rejected God at Bethel. Bring them back. And then those, dear God, who are at Jabbok tonight, attacked by God the second time, help them this time to recognize His presence and help them to hang on to Him. And those, dear God, that were not right with their brother,